Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska on Big Cabbage Radio.
Hello, my name is Ken Hoffman. I'm the host of today's program, Ag Matters. I have a small farm out here in Palmer called Matsu Microgreens, but I'm also the executive director of the Matsu chapter of the Alaska Farm Bureau. If you're a farmer out there and you want to join our organization or just learn more about it, feel free to email me at matsufarmbureau@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at alaskafb.org. All right, so we have a few farmers here today in the studio, so it's a special day. They're from Spring Creek Farm, and we have Kelly and Leah. So if you guys would start us off, maybe Leah, if you start us off with a little bit about the farm and where it's located and what you guys do out there.
Great. Yeah, so I'm Leah. I'm the farm manager up at Spring Creek Farm, which is part of Alaska Pacific University's Kellogg campus. And we're up off of Farm Loop Road, kind of right above town. We have about 6 acres fenced in for our veggie production. We only use about 1.5 acres, but we're all kind of organically managed, and we do ag education through my program with interns and with our ag education coordinator, Alex Wilson. We have all kinds of folks, volunteers, come up and produce for a 100-member CSA from June through mid-October, and then sell to a few local places kind of here in Anchorage.
Okay, great. So, Leah, you're the farm manager. Mm-hmm. So, Kelly, what part do you play in the Spring Creek Farm?
Yeah, so my name is Kelly Marcialis, and I serve as the director of Alaska Pacific University, which houses Spring Creek Farm. My role is really as administrative support for Leah. We also have other programs on our campus. Leah mentioned Alex Wilson, who's our ag educator. We also have the Alaska Tilth program, which I oversee.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with Alaska Tilth. I've used that before. You guys have helped me with moving my microgreens, so that's cool. Leah, let's talk more about the farm. Mm-hmm. So you said it's 6 acres, but you farm 1.5 acres?
Yeah.
So is it all vegetable production? And what sort of vegetables do you guys grow?
Good question. We grow pretty much everything we can that will grow in Alaska. So a lot of brassicas, so things in the broccoli family, cold hardy stuff. We're trying garlic this year, which is new for me. I think it's been grown there in the past, but I wanted to try that. And then we have a few high tunnels, and we'll grow cucumbers and tomatoes and eggplant, and then all the classic kind of Alaska things, beets, carrots, potatoes, okay, radishes, turnips. And so we are kind of tilled. Yeah, area in production is 1.5 acres, but this year also a new thing is chickens.
Okay.
So we just got 30 chickens that we're going to use for eggs, and so they're going to hopefully be in one of our more fallow areas of the field and be in there and eat bugs and grass and fertilize, and then we'll open that up in future years to have more space.
Okay, very good. You're speaking my language. I'm a small-scale market gardener outside as well. My place is about 1 acre, but I think I'm only using about 1/4 acre mm-hmm. of vegetables. So how many crops would you say that you're growing? Like, what's the number? And then also, how many people do you have on your team that are even harvesting and washing these crops?
Yeah. How many things do we grow? Oh, boy. A lot. I don't know.
30, 40?
I would say, probably around 40.
Okay.
And it kind of changes through the season. So springtime is heavy in arugula and greens mm-hmm. and things. And then towards the end, it's really heavy in, like, in the heavy stuff. So squash and potatoes and carrots and all that. And so my team, so it's myself, my assistant manager, her name is Kiara.
Okay.
This is her first year. She's awesome. And then we have 2 full season interns and then 2 partial season interns.
Okay.
And so they come up. We have a couple from Alaska and then some from the lower 48. And they come up and we have a curriculum we go through. So we just talk about everything from, you know, starting seedlings to fertilizing, harvesting, closing down the farm for the end of the season. They just kind of see the whole cycle and learn, hopefully, when they leave, how to kind of run a small farm.
How to run the small farm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to nerd out a little bit. What crop is, like, your favorite? If you could just grow one crop, what would it be that seems to be the easiest but also most profitable? And then also, what tools are you using? Do you have a tractor, or are you using a BCS tiller? Mm-hmm. Are you doing a paper pot transplant system?
Ooh, okay,
give me
nerdy.
Give me some information on that.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Well, so my favorite, I have favorites in different ways. So I feel like the simplest, classic, everyone loves it, is our carrots. People go crazy. We have really nice, that silty loam up there. So they're really sweet. My personal favorite, if I could grow a bunch of it, would be cabbage. I love harvesting cabbage, and it's really easy to maintain. And then my favorite to eat is shelling peas.
Shelling peas.
And then, yeah, for tools, we do have a BCS. And so that's our main tool for tilling. And we also use it to hill our potatoes. And then we have a couple other attachments for it, like a flail mower and that kind of thing. And we do have a big tractor, larger than the BCS, in that we mostly use it with a bucket and a mower. So we try and keep our grass around the field pretty short for slug control.
Okay.
And then also paper pot, which for me, I find it works really well for the salad turnips.
Yep.
But I'm not super sold on it for much else.
Okay.
They grow, you know, kind of above the soil like that, so they don't mind not being buried. But our beets didn't love it. Our onions didn't love it. But I know some people are huge fans of it. It is really cool.
I'm crazy about the paper pot transplanter. I definitely use it for the Hackeri turnips.
Yep.
Three seeds per plug. And then I've done it with the scallions. Scallions seem to like it at least. And then the big one is Salanova lettuce.
Okay.
I'll use it for the lettuce.
Yeah.
What do you guys use for spring mix? Do you guys grow Salanova lettuce, or are you doing like a mesclun mix?
We did a little Salanova last year, and normally we've kind of done blocks of various things. So we did like Mizuna and a baby kale and a baby pak choy. And then this year we're trying two mixes from Johnny. So the Encore mix is one. There's a baby kale mix. And then I think it's Premier maybe is a third. Premier. So those are just like one's a brassica mix, one's more of a lettuce mix, and then one is the kale.
Okay. Yep. Very good. The big tractor, you say you use it for mowing?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay. So mowing like around the farm, or do you use it in the field?
Yeah. So we're within that fenced in area. We have seven kind of, it's broken up to seven smaller fields. And so all mow are on the perimeter and in between to keep the grass short. And then we also have some other open property outside of the fence. So we use it there also. Okay.
Are you using the 30-inch bed system, kind of like JM Fortier systems?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Does that seem to work well for you guys?
I think so, yeah. We use, you know, for some of our weed control, the landscape fabric, and so that it kind of works perfectly. We have 30-inch beds and then 15-inch walking rows, so the overlap is great, and the tiller is 30 inches, and then, yeah, it all just kind of works out nicely. And all our fields are 75 feet, so we can use row cover, drip, all of it interchangeably.
Yep. My first farm was 30-inch beds, of course, and then I had 12-inch walkways.
Okay.
And they were 25-foot beds.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the walkways way too small.
Yeah.
I kept stepping on plants, and then the soil would go over. I put wood chips in the middle. It seems to work. I'll probably do that again. But now my new farm that I'm designing, 18-inch walkways.
Yeah.
For those big feet, especially, I mean, I don't have big feet, but when you wear the, put on your extra tufts and you're trying to carry a tote and you want to put it in the middle, it's nice to have extra wide.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, Kelly. So now let's talk about administration stuff.
Fun.
So do you do, by administration, so I'm an accountant, so do you do the bookkeeping for the farm
or do you not? The university has an accounting department. So administratively, what I do is I secure funding to ensure that all of our staff on Kellogg campus can do the really amazing work that they go out there and do. So to support Leah, the farm does bring in some funding, but it is a nonprofit farm, and a lot of what we do is education, bringing in the interns, things like that. It requires additional grant funding to do much of what we do. And so I am the grant writer. I am the PR person. Okay. I'm the communications person. Even though the university has a lot of those departments, they're in Anchorage on main campus, and we're out here in Palmer. And so in order to make sure that we're maintaining our social media and sharing with the community all the great things that we're doing, oftentimes I'm the one who's behind the camera and making posts and definitely communicating that to our funders as well.
Fun. Okay. What's Alex Wilson? I know her.
Mm-hmm.
Is she work with you in administration? And what is that really?
So Alex is one of our staff. Yeah. I oversee Alex's role as our ag educator. And she was hired initially to be our youth ag educator, working specifically with those K through 12, bringing field trips back to the Kellogg campus. A long time ago, there used to be a stronger relationship with the Matsubara School District and Spring Creek Farm, and we used to have campus tours and farm days and work, you know, projects that happened. That had fallen away by the time I was hired in 2022.
Okay.
And so we're bringing those programs back. We do have pretty regular farm field trips, but as far as Alex and her work, she works very closely with Wasilla High School's plant sciences teacher, Ms. Swagger, and what I've done is brought grant funding to the campus so that we can pay for busing, so that Wasilla High School students can come to our campus once a month, and it also pays Alex to go to Wasilla High once a month. So they're getting two touch points with Alaska Pacific University, and it's really helped with Wasilla High School's plant sciences program. They had a seedling sale last year that brought in thousands of dollars that the department got to keep. Their department, Wasilla High School, got to keep. And so, yeah, we're just trying to ensure that students have real applicable hands-on education opportunities. We're working with Wasilla. We're working with Palmer High. We work with Academy Charter here in Palmer. And yeah, looking for other ways to engage with FFA and 4-H. And we've had other elementary schools in the borough come to do one-off field trips. But we're looking for also opportunities to engage more ongoing so that students have a place to come and practice some of their science learnings.
Okay, very good. This is Ken Hoffman with Ag Matters. We're talking to Kelly and Leah from Spring Creek Farm. I want to talk a little bit more about the students coming on the farm. So you have farm days. What exactly is that, and how do parents get their kids involved?
Right now, Alex Wilson, who is our ag educator, is working with schools to make connections with teachers who would want to have field trips on our campus. However, if others want to come and have a campus tour or walk in, we have trails that traverse our campus. If they wanted to come and have a farm tour or do a trail walk, we have food forests that we're developing on our campus. So I would just say reach out to ajwilson@alaskapacific.edu, or you can go on to the Alaska Pacific website and find Kellogg Campus. There's a contact Kellogg Campus page there, and you can enter into the form any requests that you might have for visiting.
Okay, sounds good. So you just threw out the term food forest. I have no idea what that means. What does that mean exactly?
What's really exciting is we're working with our Alaska Resilience Farm Partnership. This is a grant-funded partnership through the Alaska Conservation Foundation. We've been funded by the NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, in the past, and this year are funded by the U.S. Forest Service to create food forests on our campus. A food forest is a cultivated area where food grows in our trails. And so we already have food that naturally grows where our trails are. Things like watermelon berries and plantain and cranberries and things like that. But cultivating a food forest requires the help of foresters and biologists and a little bit of a workforce too to ethically harvest plants from one area of our campus and get them closer to our trails. This food forest that we're cultivating is going to be near our parking lot. And so the idea is to help the community, and especially elders and those who may have some disabilities, get easier access to the food that's growing naturally in our forest.
Okay, so it's like helping the forest grow so you can forage them easier?
Yes.
Is that basically it?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So now I want to talk a little bit about TILTH. I'm excited about TILTH. It helped me a lot last summer. Could you give an overview of what TILTH is? Because we do have some farmers that listen to this program who maybe have never heard of it, but could really use the help. So if you could give us an overview of what the TILTH program is.
Absolutely. It is by far my favorite program that we run on the campus, because it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a community member, a farmer, a volunteer, someone in the anti-hunger organizations, in education, there's something in this program for everyone. So the Alaska TILTH program through APU is an opportunity for food producers to connect with anti-hunger organizations to basically reduce barriers to getting food to those who need it most in our community. So the Alaska TILTH program has some funding through the Matsu Health Foundation and through private donations that help buy market seconds from farmers. So instead of food, you know, usable, edible calories that are sometimes going into compost because they don't have a market for them. We ran a campaign last year called our Ugly Veggie campaign, you know, encouraging people to eat ugly veggies, maybe not the prettiest apple or the prettiest cucumber or whatever, but, you know, it's still edible. How can we encourage people to think differently about how we use our food? So the TILTH program has some funding to be able to buy those market seconds off of farmers and food producers and get them into anti-hunger organizations like Kids Cupboard, WASI, the senior center here, where those ugly veggies are then turned into meals that are served to the folks that those organizations serve. We also have, as many farmers may know, the LFPA funding is not being, that was the pot of funding that was buying the leftovers
leftovers after markets.
Okay.
There was some government funding there, but that funding has gone away for this market season. And so Tilth is coming in with the dollars provided by Mount Sinai Health Foundation to continue to buy what is left over after a farmer's market here in the Mat-Su and get those market first to the Mat-Su Food Bank and to other food pantries and anti-hunger organizations in the Mat-Su. And then this year we're doing a couple of things a little differently. In March we held a listening session with 20 of the Tilth stakeholders in the Mat-Su Borough. And what we learned over 6 hours of doing work together, where we evaluated the Tilth program and we listened very carefully and deeply to those who are using the program the most, we heard that transportation is a huge barrier for our food system. Oh. And so this year, we have some funding that we will try and address some of those systemic transportation issues by having 2 Tilth employees this year and working with the Mat-Su Food Bank and others for storage and helping reach some of the further pantries like the Willow Food Pantry and the Sutton Food Pantry so that it's not just the food that we're getting from our local producers isn't just in the Palmer-Wasilla corridor, but it's actually getting out further into the Mat-Su Borough.
Okay. So when you say transportation issues, are you saying from the farm to you guys or from you guys out to the community?
Well, food producers, as we heard it from them, just had a variety of transportation issues with, like, why not donate more to the food bank? Well, because they, after market, they would have to take things back to their farm, they'd have to store it, and then timing-wise, they'd have to go to the food bank, which is kind of in the center between Palmer and Wasilla. So wherever their farms are, they'd have to drive there, and it'd have to be during a time when the food bank is receiving a donation. So if Tilth had coordinated with food producers to do pickups and had cold storage to store things and worked with food banks for timing, we could streamline that transportation issue so that we're actually reducing our carbon footprint, spending less money on gas and transportation and time just by being a little bit more coordinated with our scheduling.
Okay. I know I was not able to go to this event. I was hoping to, but I wasn't able to.
I know we missed you very much.
But
thank you for donating microgreens to our meal, though.
For me, you know, I actually thought it was quite easy to coordinate. Alex let me just go to the farm. I would go into the cooler and drop off the microgreens. And yeah, it did take some time. But since you guys were purchasing them at wholesale, it totally made financial sense for me to go and do that. So I really liked that. So Leah, to start closing off this this podcast today, could you tell us where can people get the CSA? Where can people buy these vegetables? What markets are you guys at?
Yeah, so we really have one main market, and it's on Wednesdays from 3 to 6:30 on the APU main campus. I'm in Anchorage in front of Cargotstein. And so that is our Anchorage member CSA pickup point, and we have a market stand. Our members are also out in the valley, so they pick up directly from the farm. They just walk in to the cooler, and then we have a pickup point with ANMC, Alaska Native Medical Center, for folks who work there. So Anchorage is our main point, and then at our market this year, a little bit new, we're partnering with some of the student life folks, so there'll be food trucks there, and Brown Dog Flower Farm, who the previous manager of Spring Creek Farm, Ben Swim, him and his partner, Mimi, they run that. So they'll have a booth for 10 weeks with us. Turn Again Ceramics is going to be there for a couple of weeks. So that's starting June 18th is the first one through the first week of October.
Okay.
We'll be there every Wednesday.
Are you looking for more vendors?
We would love more vendors. And we can take, I think, up to 4 more. And so if folks are interested, you can email me or reach out through the website. My email is lcorbin@alaskapacific.edu.
Okay. And is the CSA sign-up season over?
It is. We are full. We cap it at about 100. So
we 100. We open.
When did we open?
February.
This year?
Usually the first week of February.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys like send out an email blast to potential people so they can sign up early?
Yeah. And I can put folks on the wait list and they'll get that. There'll be kind of a 2-week pre-sign-up window for previous year members and waitlist folks. And it'll also be up on our social media.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe we'll get you guys back in here next January to remind people to sign up too.
That'd be great.
Are you going to try to have more openings than 100? Maybe next year?
100 has kind of been our capacity just with our cooler and wash pack space. But if that grows, we can grow.
Okay, very good. And then, yeah. Kelly, how do farmers get a hold of you guys for the Tilth program? What's the best way for farmers to get involved?
I would just encourage people to reach out to Alex at AJ Wilson, WILSON, at alaskapacific.edu. However, you can always reach out to me or through the APU website, Kellogg Campus. There's, like I said, a contact page there if you wanted to enter in your information. One of our team will get back to you if you are interested. We're always looking to grow the Alaska Tilth program. In the next few years, Alaska Tilth has some big changes and big growth. We're really looking to address huge systemic needs in our food system here in the MATSU. So if you want to be part of that, I highly encourage you to reach out. We're also looking for victory gardens and home gardeners, okay, community gardeners. If you are interested in donating some of your produce to the Alaska Tilth program, please, please reach out. That is something new that's happening this year, is home gardeners, victory gardeners, community gardeners. We're going to be picking up from you all, so please reach out. We'd love to include you in our food system.
So exciting. I know as a farmer, tilth has been huge. It's been really helpful. And then Leo, it's great having you on here too. I'm talking about farming, and I love nerding out with other market gardeners. So it's a major pleasure having you both in studio. I love it when people come into the studio so I can actually see your guys' faces. So thank you. And I hope you guys have a good farm season.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Cool.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.